you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. And I'm particularly excited about today because I get a chance to visit with a friend that I've had for a couple years. And I'm so thrilled that I was able to highlight her in Think and Grow Rich for Women. Dina, thank you so much for being with me. Dina Dwyer Owens. And
hi, Sharon. Yep.
I'm excited to have you for multiple reasons, because as we talk about the Play Big Movement, I think you have a particularly wonderful story that I want to share. But Dina is the co-chairman, and she helped fundamentally help the explosion of the growth of the Dwyer Group. And she was on the incredible show Undercover Boss, and she was quite the star. I loved every episode, but I think I was particularly partial to yours, Dina, and loved the pearls.
Oh.
She had one segment where, was it plumber? You were a plumber and you had on long fingernails and pearls, right?
That's right. Made a lot of sense.
It was a great show. I loved it. You were CEO for 15 years before you became co-chairman. And for those of you, you might not recognize the name, the Dwyer Group, but you definitely recognize what it stands for, because they have over 17 franchises now that they own under that, the Glass Doctor, AirServe, Molly Made, Mr. Appliance, Mr. Electric, just to name a few. And it continues to expand. But most of all, one of the things that I just love about Dina is that this company was started by her father, and he's passed and she took over the reins, and she never fails to highlight and compliment her dad. So Dina, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Sharon. Lots of fun things going on at Dwyer. We've got some updates to talk about. The first one probably is to correct that I'm no longer co-chair. Our company has sold for the fourth time to a private equity partner. And I say sold, you know, we like to hand select the people that we partner with. So now I am, I still serve on the board, but I'm the brand ambassador for Dwyer. So I'm more on a part-time basis, but still loving what I feel like I do best at Dwyer, which has everything to do with cheering the team on.
Well, you're living the dream, right? We talk about play big, and that's exactly what you've done. You grew your business to the point where you sold it not once, but now four times, right? So that's fantastic, because
right.
It's exactly what we want to talk about, and that is to do whatever it takes and understand the bigger vision of how you can expand. And I think of everybody that I interview, the one person that comes to mind all the time when I think about truly serving versus selling, it's you and how you run the Dwyer. Talk a little bit about your code of ethics and your code of conduct that you have.
Yeah, well, thank you for that compliment. And, you know, one person can't do what we've done at Dwyer, as we all know. It takes an amazing team of people. But our team is propped up by the foundation of our code of values. So you mentioned that my father founded the company in 1981, and he was very clear about his beliefs and how he wanted to run the business. So he coined that, his code of values. Things like loyalty adds meaning to our lives. We believe we must re-earn our positions every day in every way. And when he died of a sudden heart attack, and he had just taken the company public, by the way, in 93, and he died in 94. At the young age of 60, one of our greatest fears as a management team was, how do we keep this culture special that Don Dwyer worked so hard to create, with the values really being the foundation? So we took his original values and we operationalized them. We created a set of values that we could hold ourselves accountable to and hold one another accountable to. So really, at the end of the day, it can't be about one person. So, you know, Don Dwyer died and the company could have fallen apart, but he taught us such a great lesson about being values-guided leaders that we made that the number one priority when he died. So we have the theme of respect, integrity, customer focus, and having fun. We call it living rich at Dwyer Group. And below each one of those core values, we have very specific value statements. Some people might call them accountability statements. And it truly is what's helped us be so successful 37 years into our life.
And it's interesting because I talk about your episode on Undercover Boss, and I remember you sharing with me that as you were there and the camera was rolling, that one of the people that you were working with didn't remember something, and you said, now this is going to be on national television. Talk about that angst, that feeling that you
Well, yeah, especially on that episode, because, you know, you put yourself out there, you're super vulnerable. And the funny thing is, Sharon, I think that the production company actually goes out to some 80 CEOs to find the one CEO that either will say, yes, I'll take a chance and put myself out there and take the risk. Because most of the companies they go after are Fortune 500 type companies who say, there's no way we're putting our CEO on this kind of a show and exposing possible challenges we have in our business. Well, we approached them because we said, what's the worst that can happen is we have to implement our code of values. So yes, there were a couple of occasions, one in particular where a franchisee was not following our system, did not necessarily come across as believing in our values. At the end of the day, he still is a very good franchisee, but there were a few systems that he wasn't following in our company. And he went back, and you better believe they put him in place after being on national television, and he does an incredible job.
I just remember you sharing how you were feeling. You were on camera feeling like, oh no, this is going to be broadcast.
This is going to be on national TV. I'm going to make sure we have to address this. Yeah.
But you did, and you did it elegantly and beautifully. And I think it was exceptionally powerful for the show, for those watching it, because you were vulnerable. You acknowledged it, and you shared it. And so many others would have said, cut that out. I don't want that on the show. So
yeah. No, as leaders, the truth is we have to be vulnerable. We can't really grow our businesses to the next level if we're not willing to take some risks, right? And that means being vulnerable. And I think that show, it is a reality show, but the truth is there's so much reality to what goes on in our business worlds, in our lives, that you're going to run into these issues that are embarrassing, and you got to figure out, how do I deal with this and do it right? And that's where the values come into play. So whether it's on a TV show or it's in real life every day, it's just, you know, getting down to what is right. What's the right way to treat this particular situation, this person or these people that we're involved with.
Well, and I know a lot of people listening and watching probably might be thinking, oh, it's easy to say that as a leader, that you've got these code of conducts. But I had the pleasure and honor of speaking to in front of Gina's annual convention a couple of years ago. And I will tell you that every one of them live and breathe it. It's just amazing. What an incredible group of people. So I compliment you, because you don't just talk the talk. You definitely, your whole organization walks it. So I congratulate
you. We strive to. We're not perfect, but we have a high bar, and we work to live up to that high bar every day.
Well, and you cover so many different industries. It's, you know, it's hard. That is incredible to keep that kind of culture across all those different, you know, technologies and expertise and different mindsets, particularly since some of them are not homegrown. I mean, some of them you actually bought as whole franchises, right? And then you have to work to get that culture through the organization. Talk about that a little bit.
You know, that plays into everything we do, Sharon, whether it's, you know, hiring a new associate to join Dwyer Group, because we've also grown our team of corporate employees by 35% in the last 4 years. That has everything to do with who we award a franchise to. So when we think about, you know, who do we want to, it's not officially a partnership, but it is a really important relationship. Who do we want to team up with? Because this is kind of like a marriage. We're going to be together for a long time, and they have to be aligned with our values. It certainly has to do with the private equity groups that we team up with. I mean, we have to be very careful about who we're going to team up with, because this is who we are culturally. And if they're not a good fit culturally, we're going to have some challenges. And then, you know, when we think about the employees in particular, which is what you were getting at, is how do we really work at keeping those values front and center? And it's all in the systems of how we do things at Dwyer, from the moment of interviewing somebody and talking about our values and how important they are to us, to the reviews that we do with our associates, to the surveys we do with our franchisees. We just completed a survey, and I love it. Our chief operating officer brought the results to me, and she said, this particular survey last year, we focused on four values. Mm-hmm. And then we came back and asked them how we had done in improving on those values, because there's always room for improvement. And the good news is the score is up. So we did intentionally focus on getting better at those particular four values that we thought were most important for that survey. And the franchisees have come back and said, yes, you have made some improvement. Can we make more improvement? Of course we can, but we've raised the bar.
Yeah, always, always. And that's part of it. You can't, unless you can measure it, you can't know that you're actually improving it. So that's fabulous. So let's dial the clock back a little bit, because another conversation you and I had about when your father passed suddenly, and there you were standing in a position of being, you know, going in to take over. You told me there were, you had a little bit of opposition to some of the old guys, right?
Yeah. So initially I was VP of operations. And about almost four years into that, the public company board of directors that we had saw that we needed a change. We were actually losing money as a company at that time, because we overinvested in our infrastructure after our founder's death, and we had to come back and we had to reduce some of our overhead. But one of the biggest mistakes we made after my father died is we put the guy who was in charge of franchise development in charge of the whole company. And not that he could not have done a great job at that in itself, but taking a guy who really understands franchise development out of development, sales went down. And we really suffered as a result of that. So they asked Robert Tunmeyer to go back into the role of heading up the franchise development team, and then invited me to be the, back then I was 35, the acting president and CEO. And there were a group of Mr. Reuters, that's one of our largest, actually our largest brand. It's a plumbing and drain cleaning company, and a bunch of very professional plumbers running really nice sized businesses took a straw poll and basically voted against me becoming the president and CEO. So I had to put the values at work when that happens. I basically asked to meet with him and just wanted to face the truth about what they were thinking. And the bottom line is, what they were thinking was true. They said, number one, you've never run a company this size. They were right. Number two, you're not a plumber. They were right again. And I said, but here's what I am. I'm the customer. When you think about who do we serve every day with our businesses, the trades businesses, it's primarily the woman of the house. So who better to lead the company than the person who understands what kind of experience I want to have as a consumer? And I just asked him, to this particular ringleader, I said, please just give me 6 months. You can't keep bad mouthing me, because I'm going to be putting out fires right and left. You need to support me and give me a chance to prove myself. If I don't prove myself, I'm the first one who will step down and say, let's find somebody different. I'm not the right person for the job. Well, he became my greatest cheerleader. And here we are. You know, you mentioned I led the company for 15 years with a lot of great help, but he became one of those main supporters.
And so your annual revenues over the time that you've been leading this company have been incredibly impressive from when you took over. And I know when I was there a few years ago, you were almost that year where you were going to hit $1 billion. So I know you're well over that now. So share what a woman-led company has accomplished. I know you have a huge team, but I just want to applaud you and I want to recognize you. So.
Well, thank you. Well, I had, with the help of a lot of great people, gotten it to right at the $1 billion mark. But in the last 4 years, Sharon, I'm so proud of the team and what they've accomplished. I moved myself out of the role of CEO and president. You just have to know when it's time. And I knew it was time, and appointed Mike Bidwell, who had been with our company as a franchisee, an award-winning franchisee of multiple brands of ours, and moved him to the president CEO role. In the last 4 years, teaming back up with the Riverside company, our initial private equity partner, that's another story in itself, came back and reacquired us. In the last 4 years, Mike has taken the company from about the $1.1 billion range to almost $1.8 billion. And we today truly are the largest values-guided leader of franchise businesses focused on repairing, maintaining, and enhancing homes.
And so when you look back, when you actually won the trust and you became the real CEO, not the acting CEO, did you have this vision then for this company?
Oh, you know, it's so funny, because you've got to always set, I call them targets instead of goals, but you've got to always set targets, put them in writing, and believe you can get there. So as we reach this milestone, you know, getting the 1.7, 1.8 billion, I looked back on some of my target planning sheets from years ago, and back in 2007, I had written down by the end of 2018, we would be a $2 billion retail sales company. And we can get really close to that, maybe even pass it up, you know, by the end of this year. It's going to be a lot of work, but with Mike Biddle as our CEO and this amazing team that we've got here at Dwyer, anything is possible.
Well, that's fantastic. So what a That was 2007, you created these goals. That's amazing. Congratulations. So many of us, you know, we may not be setting our goals in writing, and that's one of the things. If you can't put it in writing, you know, how can you achieve it, right? So written goals, and we're going to have an incredible opportunity for those of you that are in the private Facebook group, and if you're not, go to the Play Big Movement with Sharon Lecter private Facebook group, because I'm going to have Dina come back and talk a little bit about more personal stuff and have that in the private Facebook group. But for those of you, please make sure you let us know how you feel about this, and if you want to hear more about the Dina group, the Dwyer group, Dina, how can they find you?
Yes, they can go to dwyergroup.com. It's D-W-Y-E-R group.com. Or if they would like to go to my website, dinadwyerowens.com, they might go there because they can pick up some tools for free on how to create their own culture. So I have a workbook, Sharon, it's 6 simple steps to creating your own culture with the values and the systematizing of the values like we've done so successfully at Dwyer. So that's available at dinadwyerowens.com. And on the franchising side, they can just hit the button for franchise information and learn what they'd like to learn about it. And we're happy to get on the phone with them if they really don't understand what it means to be involved in a franchise company. We'd love to orientate them on what that means, because we do have what we call white space. So it's basically inventory of exclusive territories around the world, but primarily in the US and Canada, where we're looking for great people. And I know that your viewers are the kind of people we'd love to have as franchisees. So if they're interested in franchise information, probably dinadwyerowens.com. They can get some good free information on creating the kind of culture that we've worked hard to create at Dwyer, and also some franchise information and some discounts on our services.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you said you're kind of now in a part-time with the business, but I know that you're actually still working full-time on things that you love to do. So what else are you got yourself involved in these days, Dina?
Well, the things that I love most, of course, are sharing the message of how values can really create value. And so I do a lot of speaking. I'm interviewed on a lot of podcasts on leadership as it relates to how do you build a successful business with values, and can they in fact translate into financial results? So that's kind of still the one thing I think CEOs wonder about. Can I really take what we've written here as core values in our strategic planning process and turn them into something that makes this company extra special? And I'm here to tell you, it is because of Dwyer's core values and our commitment to leading those values that's helped us become the company we are today. Again, we're a 37-year-old company that grew more than 100% in the last 4 years. We grew our enterprise value by 3.5 times, Sharon. That's not by accident. That is by attracting the people that we believe are aligned with our values, the franchisees we believe are aligned with our values, and teaming up with private equity partners. And by the way, we acquired 11 companies in the last 4 years. Those were companies that wanted to be part of our culture. So you talked about culture earlier, and we don't go out and buy companies that we think are not a cultural fit. They've got to be a company that we believe, their values may not be written the same as ours, but we believe culturally we walk hand in hand. And then over time, we want to earn their trust in believing that we truly do live these values. And then they'll come around to reciting them like we do and working hard to make decisions based on those values.
Well, we've talked a lot about values today, but I think when you imagine this kind of organization, as large as it is, and it's got so many different types, 17 different branded franchises among it, your success has also got to be on strong business systems. So talk a little bit about the importance of business systems in being able to really play big and to get to that point where it's exponential growth.
It's funny, if we go back into the history of Dwyer Group, when my father thought about how do I build a really large organization that can benefit so many people, primarily helping them live the American dream that he cared so much about living himself. And franchising was the answer, because what a franchise company does is we take what's most important in business, we create systems around what's most important so that those systems can be replicated. So they're proven, right? They're proven systems for success. Every business needs to have those systems. Whether you consider franchising or not, doesn't matter. In your own business, you've got to systematize those operations so that when you hire a new associate, you've got to be able to train them to the system so that you can have that experience for the customer that you want to continually create. And that's what a franchise does. And if a franchisee comes in and follows those systems, they will have success.
And that's really, when we talk about assets, that franchise system is a perfect example of the importance of any, even if you're not looking to franchise your business, in order to be able to scale or grow, you need to have business systems in place. And the beauty of a franchise is those systems are not only in place, but they've been proven successful. So it's, you think about, and I'm not, you may not like this term, but it's a cookie cutter plan for a successful way to operate your business that you can invest in and know that it has proven results. And so if you follow the guidelines and the core values, I'll add, you have the greatest opportunity for success. And that's the brilliance of the whole franchise system.
And that's so, right. And cookie cutter is fine, because I think it is true. The other thing that a good franchise company does is provides the support then and helps the franchisee really learn those systems and work through the kinks, whatever challenges they might run into, because business is tough and it's more complex today than it's ever right. been. So and we help try to take complexity. Yeah, take some of that complexity out of the business. But, and you mentioned the values, even think about that as a system. One of the reasons I think 95% of the companies in North America do nothing with their values once they've written them is because they haven't figured out, how do I implement it? How do I make it part of our DNA? And at Dwyer, we created a system around the values. So anytime we have a meeting of three or more of our employees or our franchisees, we actually begin the meeting by focusing on the values. Sometimes we'll read all 15 values, Sharon, and it's important because it's that deep breath of reminding ourselves, this is who we are. This is how we are to respond and treat others. And sometimes it's just focusing on one particular value and saying, you know, we're not doing so good on this one based on feedback we recently received. Let's pick it up. Let's do a better job and refocus on it. So it is part of our system.
And it's a perfect example of Napoleon Hill talk about auto-suggestion. You know, it's even though it may sound like something that you're reciting, it's actually still embedded in there and you're refreshing it and re-engaging the thought process of those values. So I think it's fabulous.
That makes me smile because you said earlier, some of the businesses we're in are very challenging types of industries and very diverse. So one of our core values is speaking calmly and respectfully without profanity or sarcasm. Now, you know, not all plumbers and electricians and appliance repair people use profanity, but you know, in the trade, sometimes you have some bad habits of profanity. And so that auto suggestion of, you know, we live our code of values by speaking calmly and respectfully without profanity or sarcasm is a great reminder. And it does trigger the auto suggestion. Wait a second, you just use profanity. Don't you have a value against that?
Yeah, I think you talked to me about something that you implemented in your office about that too, right?
the beep system, yeah. So anytime anybody was violating a value, they had the right to give a beep, no matter who it was in the organization, what level it was. Everybody had the responsibility and the right to beep anybody in the company if they were violating a value.
Imagine each of you, if you had that system in your office, how would that go? But first, it's important to create those values. So Dina, thank you so much for being with us today. And as always, I love every opportunity I can to see you and interact. And I look forward to really continuing to applaud your success and know that you're still making a huge impact, because in the Play Big movement, it's talking about being number one in your field, which obviously you have become, living your legacy, which is what you do every day, the people that you touch and the lives that you touch, and creating maximum impact. So there's nobody that embodies the spirit of this Play Big movement more than you. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Sharon. Thanks for being a mentor.
Hold on. We're going to go into another segment. So sign up for that private Facebook group as we continue having this conversation. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.